pastor, author, and Bible teacher, Alan Wright.
To say that you want a God that's just made up and some little cute little God that's over on the side and all he is just nice and sweet and does what you want him to do is to say you want a God that has no power over evil? Who wants evil to reign? God is good, and there's a fire inside of God.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in our series called Moses, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It'll be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. So as you listen to today's message, we encourage you to go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAllen.org. That's PastorAllen.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on this later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
I called my mother and I told her that I had experienced God and that I had been called into the ministry, and I couldn't tell her but for weeping. And for weeks and weeks after this, I couldn't even speak of the experience without weeping. Now, to me, this day, when I tell that story, again, if I were to get alone with God and just start thinking of it again, I would just start weeping just like it was. That's how real that is to me. Now, when I tell a story like that, if that doesn't fit your worldview, right, what are you going to do with that? Right. Because there are really only two responses when somebody tells a story like that. You either go, well, I don't think Alan's crazy, and man, if you can experience God like that and he's that real, that changes everything. Or you go, I think Alan's crazy. And you'd have to say that basically I'm living my whole life out of a delusion. I don't see any in between. This is what happened to Moses. Moses was minding his own business, tending sheep, hiding in exile in Midian, not knowing that God had providentially arranged that he would be a Hebrew boy that was raised in the Egyptian court, so he'd be the perfect one to be able to go and represent the Hebrew people and have an easy access to Pharaoh himself. He didn't know that God had already been hearing the cry of the Israelites. He didn't know all the plans of God. He's just tending his sheep, and he sees a bush that is burning but is not consumed, and he turns, and he's fascinated to see such a sight, and God speaks to him, and essentially what happens is Moses has to decide, either this is a delusion, either I'm going crazy, or I am experiencing God, and if I'm experiencing God, this transforms every single thing about life, and my entire worldview has to change from this point forward. The bush. As Pastor Chris said last week, there weren't anything except for rocks and bushes there, and so it might not have been an unusual sight to see in an arid climate, a bush that had caught on fire, but it was a bush that was burning and was not being burned up. That was what was so interesting about that. Remember that. It's on fire, but it's not consumed. On fire, but not destroyed, just on fire so it could burn brightly. It is an ordinary bush, but as preacher Tony Evans once said, if God is in the bush, any old bush will do. The power of the kingdom of God, the kingdom itself, Jesus said, is at hand. It's in the ordinary. It's here. It's now. It's not somewhere off far away. You don't have to go some other place. You don't have to go to some exotic place or do something unusual in order to experience the presence and the power of God. He can be in any bush. And the bush is burning. The image of fire becomes an extremely important image, a metaphor about something about the nature of who God is. Many, many scriptures. I give you a few of them. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Know therefore today that he who goes over before you as a consuming fire is the Lord your God. He will destroy them and subdue them before you, so you shall drive them out and make them perish quickly, as the Lord has promised you. The image of the people of God taking the promised land and the power of God driving out the enemies, defeating evil, okay, is the image of God being a consuming fire. The image of God being a consuming fire is God destroying evil. That's the first and the prevalent imagery. God shall arise, Psalm 68, his enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. The fire of God is the justice of God, the righteousness of God, joined to the power of God, which will not let evil win. And I don't know about you, but I don't want a mamby-pamby God made up in our own image who has no firepower. He is the creator of the ends of the earth, and beloved, he is in charge of everything, and his will be done, and one day every knee will bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. To say that you want a God that's just made up and some little cute little God that's over on the side and all he is just nice and sweet and does what you want him to do is to say you want a God that has no power over evil? Who wants evil to reign? Amen. God is good. And there's a fire inside of God. See, that's why we start singing that song this morning about no weapon, that nothing shall stand against us. I get so excited about it because there is substance to that. And then in Exodus chapter 19, when Moses receives the law, when he gets the revelation from God, God comes down on the mountain as fire. And the people are told they cannot even touch the mountain. Livestock cannot even touch the mountain lest they perish. They just tremble, and the text says in Exodus 19, the smoke of it went up like smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled. There's fire, and there's trembling at Mount Sinai when God gives the revelation of his word, the law. It's really important for what we're going to see today. And then you start getting prophecies. Prophecies about the fire of God and what this means. It becomes extremely intriguing. Isaiah says, when you pass through the waters, Isaiah 43, you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Sounds like a burning bush that's not being burned up. And then Joel in chapter 2, one of the most important prophecies in all of the Old Testament, this is the chapter that's pointing to the day of Pentecost, and he says, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. And he says that fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. So the imagery of fire is associated with the coming day of the Lord. And later in Joel chapter 2, he says the famous words, it shall come to pass afterwards that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and I'll show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. And if you're wondering, what is this day of the Lord? What is Joel prophesying in which there's going to be this fulfillment of all of these prophecies, and it's going to come to pass? If you wonder what it is, all you got to do is look in Acts chapter 2, and you find out. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were suddenly in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It's out like Mount Sinai all over again. And it's filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And later, Peter stood up and preached the first Christian sermon and said, this is that of which Joel spoke. This is the day of the Lord. This is the day of the Lord God, the consuming fire, coming in a new way, in a new covenant. Oh, fire is to the Hebrews is associated with the heart, because the word for fire in Hebrew sounds like the word for heart. Fire, levay, and heart, lev. It is something happening inside of the heart that is being described at Pentecost. And all of this was prefigured by the fire of God burning in a bush, leading them by a pillar of fire, descending down on Mount Sinai. The power of God to quench and destroy evil and to ignite and empower his people. See, fire is different than other elements. It's not like other things. See, if you touch water, you affect the water. You stir the water. You move the water. You touch clay. You mold it into what you want it to be. Touch the air even, and you can wave air molecules around. But when you touch fire, you don't change the fire. The fire changes you.
That's Alan Wright. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Ever feel like something's holding you back? As if you lack an important key that could change everything? Is there someone you love who seems stuck? You'd like to help them, but how? What's missing? Blessing. We all need a positive, faith-filled vision spoken over our lives. You can learn how to embrace the biblical practice of blessing through Pastor Alan Wright's new book, The Power to Bless, which quickly became an Amazon number one bestseller after its recent release. Until now, the hardcover book has only been available through retail sales, but this month, Alan Wright Ministries wants to send you the book as our thank you for your donation. Make your gift today and discover the power to bless. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
When God spoke, he was introducing himself to Moses for who God really is. I'm glad God is a fire. I'm glad. Because if he's a powerful fire, he's got power to change my life. I love the scene in The Silver Chair, one of C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, when Jill first meets Aslan, the great lion who is the figure of Christ. And she is thirsting nearly to death and sees the most beautiful stream, but there's this big, scary lion next to the stream. And the lion speaks, "If you're thirsty, you may drink." A voice said again, "If you're thirsty, come and drink." It was deeper and wilder and stronger, sort of heavy, golden voice. It did not make her any less frightened than she had been before, but it made her frightened in a rather different way. "Are you not thirsty?" said the lion. "I'm dying of thirst," said Jill. "Then drink," said the lion. "May I? Could I? Would you mind going away while I do?" said Jill. The lion answered this only by a look and a very low growl. And as Jill gazed at its motionless bulk, she realized she might as well have asked the whole mountain to move aside for her convenience. The delicious rippling noise of the stream was driving her nearly frantic. "Will you promise not to do anything to me if I do come?" said Jill. "I make no promise," said the lion. Jill was so thirsty now that without noticing it, she had come a step nearer. "Do you eat girls?" she said. "I have swallowed up girls and boys, women and men, kings and emperors, cities and realms," said the lion. It didn't say this as if it were boasting, nor as if it were sorry, nor as if it were angry. It just said it. "I dare not come and drink," said Jill. "Then you will die of thirst," said the lion. "Oh, dear," said Jill, coming another step nearer. "I suppose I must go and look for another stream then." There is no other stream, said the lion. It never occurred to Jill to disbelieve the lion. No one who had seen his stern face could do that. And her mind suddenly made itself up. It was the worst thing she ever had to do, but she went forward to the stream, knelt down, and began scooping up water in her hand. It was the coldest, most refreshing water she'd ever tasted. You needn't need to drink much of it, for it quenched your thirst at once. Fire's a paradox. You want to come near it, and you're fascinated by it. We put fireplaces in our homes when we don't even need them. We make campfires and sit around and just watch the fire for hours. I love to look at a fire. I could just sit for hours and look at a fire. We're drawn to a fire. We're attracted by a fire. But we also know that if you don't watch it, that fire could burn your house down. It's an idea that was first expressed by a religious philosopher named Rudolf Otto, who said, when you experience the holy, there is a mysterium tremendum and a mysterium fascinans. There is a tremendous awe and a tremendous fascination. This is the way it is with God. He is so holy. He is so powerful that there's a part of you that wants to just turn away like Moses. But there's another part of you that's like, I need him. I want him. And what we have always longed for is a way to be able to get close to this fire without being consumed. There are some ideologies that float around that make up a God that is not a fire, that is just almost like a pet, almost like some little cute cherubim, almost like some little soft light that you can just get as an inner glow and use as you want. And there are other ideologies that paint God to be this fearsome, judgmental God who has no room in his heart for any mercy. And neither one is who God really is. I tell you, God's a fire. He is both awesome and attractive. He is both holy and merciful. He is both a lover of justice and a dispenser of grace. It has always, always, always been his heart to be the fire that burns brightly with power but does not consume and destroy us. But how could he ever make a way for this to happen? Moses, he says, when in Hebrew you repeat someone's name, Moses, it is a term of affection. Jesus, Mary, when you say Moses, he knew immediately that the one who was speaking to him was speaking affectionately and was not drawing him in by brute force nor by shame but by a winsome beauty and glory. And yet Moses wanted to look away from him. And Moses said, how will I be able to tell him who it is, what God is sending me? And God said, I'll tell you who I am. I'm going to announce my name to you. I've never told anybody this before, but I'm going to tell you, Moses, my name is I am who I am, which means my name is not I am who you want me to be. My name is I am who I am. And if you want to know me, then you must know me for who I am, because nobody defines me. I define myself. Do you want to meet me? You will meet me on my terms. Tell them I am sent you. I'm not like any of the Egyptian gods. I'm not used by people. I am a fire. People don't touch me and change me. I touch people and change them. I am is sending you. Amen. And Moses is not unlike Jill standing next to a lion at a stream, and not unlike I was kneeling by my dormitory couch. There's just something inside of you that knows that I do want to know God for who he really is. But how can I know that that fire will not destroy me? And I'm here to tell you the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this is what happened on the cross of Jesus Christ. God, in one person, on this one cross, showed himself to be a consuming fire. By no means excusing sin. The God of justice and fire and judgment that consumes wickedness came and burned in full fury against sin. But that fire fell upon himself in the person of Jesus. And Jesus became our sin. So when you accept Christ, the fire of God has already burned up your sin. Therefore, you can come to the throne of grace without fear. You can come knowing that everything that God does in your life is now the fire that does not consume. And you become a bush, ordinary bush, burning with the grace of God.
Alan Wright. In today's teaching, spiritual experiences.
Unlock the power of blessing your life. Discover God's grace-filled vision for your life by signing up for Alan Wright's free daily blessing. If you want to fill your heart with grace and encouragement, get Alan Wright's daily blessing. It's free and just a click away at PastorAlan.org. Ever feel like something's holding you back? As if you lack an important key that could change everything? Is there someone you love who seems stuck? You'd like to help them, but how? What's missing? Blessing. We all need a positive, faith-filled vision spoken over our lives. You can learn how to embrace the biblical practice of blessing through Pastor Alan Wright's new book, The Power to Bless, which quickly became an Amazon number one bestseller after its recent release. Until now, the hardcover book has only been available through retail sales, but this month, Alan Wright Ministries wants to send you the book as our thank you for your donation. Make your gift today and discover the power to bless. The gospel is shared when you give to Alan Wright Ministries. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, PastorAlan.org.
Alan, I think we've all been there, whether it's a season of doubt or a season of desperation, and maybe someone is there right now, and they're simply saying, I long so much to feel the warmth that others seem to know. Lord, make it real in my life. Lord, show me yourself. And this is really not unlike what Moses was experiencing there and what the Lord was teaching him.
Yeah. Well, you know, Daniel, we say this often. We don't go on feelings. We go on truth. And so Christianity is not a feeling. It's a relationship. Any relationship you're in, some you have feelings can be up and down. But it is an experience. Yeah. Christianity is not mental assent to a set of doctrines. It is an actual experience of God. And I just want to say that, you know, sometimes you go through those times in which you feel the presence of the Lord in a palpable way. And other times it seems like he's distant, but he's right there. He's right there, and I encourage you today to consider what the burning bushes might be all around you. As I had quoted earlier, Tony Evans said, if God's in the bush, any old bush will do. Sometimes in the most ordinary things of life, maybe today, in just an ordinary moment, just let your heart be a little more sensitive, a little more attuned to what God might be doing. And maybe today is a day in which you're going to not necessarily have a huge life change that comes in a sense of a burning bush, but just you'll see something in the spirit that you hadn't seen before. And when that happens, this is God. This is God who's meeting with you and being with you. He'll never leave you. And I pray that today you'll see him with fresh spiritual eyes. Following Christ and being a Christian is not about adhering to a set of dogmas as important as our theology and doctrine might be. But it is, by its very nature, it's an experience because we speak of it as a relationship. Well, relationships are experiential. It doesn't mean, Daniel, that we go on feelings. You know, it doesn't mean we're relying on emotions. That's not what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But we're saying that the Christian walk is a walk with God, and that is, by its very definition, experiential. And that's what Moses found out, as we're discovering in these messages, that encountering God in this burning bush is encountering God in a way that is an experience of God, and that changed everything in Moses's life. So that's what we're learning about, and especially I'm just interested in this image of the fire that burns, but it doesn't consume the bush, you know?
Yeah.
What ways is God like a fire? What ways is experiencing God like experiencing fire? That's some of what we're talking about.
Today's good news message is a listener-supported production of Allen Wright Ministries.